energy of heaven, and we have a foretaste of eternal life.
Thank you. So like joy, right? Deep joy is when you are united with your love, with your beloved. The person that you love and you're actually with them, that brings one joy. Joy is a fruit of love. And so it's a sacrament of joy that we can be united with our love, our God, who is love, already in this world as a foretaste of what we're going to experience, God willing, in the next world. We can be united with God not only through sacraments, through symbols and signs that affect a reality, but face to face with our beloved. It's just thrilling to consider this. And somebody give a lot of thanks for. Okay, the next one, please, James.
What are the names for this sacrament? The unfathomable richness of this sacrament is expressed in different names which evoke its various aspects. The most common names are the Eucharist, Holy Mass, the Lord's Supper, the breaking of the bread, the Eucharistic celebration, the memorial of the Passion, death and resurrection of the Lord, the Holy Sacrifice, the Holy and Divine Liturgy, the Sacred Mysteries, the Most Holy Sacrament of the Altar, and Holy Communion.
Thank you. It's important to consider and remember that the Mass is a sacrifice because it's a sacrifice of the cross of Christ. Is Christ dying again? No. Is Christ being sacrificed again? No. It is the one sacrifice of Christ that happened 2,000 years ago, made present and brought in a reality now onto our altar for you. So, see that? So we representing, not a representation in the sense of just like something that just, you know, I draw a picture of my mother, like that's a representation of her, not like that, right? But a representing, presenting again that one unique sacrifice on our altar again for us. You notice too, right, with the sacrifice, I mean, it involves, well, the death of Christ, right? So, and if you know anything about law, right, when a person has a will, they get an inheritance, perhaps. But you only get that when there's the death of the one who has the will. Before the death, it doesn't work, right? I mean, say you're given $1 million in this will, but the person wants to give it to you still alive. They're going to live for many, many more years. Well, you can't take the will to court and say, I'd like my $1 million, please. No. It happens upon the death of the one that made the will. So that's why we say we're also heirs of eternal life, heirs of a kingdom, because Christ has already died, and he has given us a pledge of life with him forever. Good, okay. Next, please.
Where does the Eucharist fit in the divine plan of salvation? The Eucharist was foreshadowed in the Old Covenant, above all in the annual Passover meal, celebrated every year by the Jews, with unleavened bread to commemorate their hasty, liberating departure from Egypt. Jesus foretold it in his teaching, and he instituted it when he celebrated the Last Supper with his apostles in the Passover meal. The Church, faithful to the command of our Lord, do this in memory of me, has always celebrated the Eucharist, especially on Sunday, the day of the resurrection of Jesus.
Thank you. Please.
How is the celebration of the Holy Eucharist carried out? The Eucharist unfolds in two great parts, which together form one single act of worship. The liturgy of the word involves proclaiming and listening to the word of God. The liturgy of the Eucharist includes the presentation of the bread and the wine, the prayer or the
anaphora,
containing the words of consecration and communion.
Thank you. So when you go to Mass for the first time, or maybe you've been there many times, got two big parts, liturgy of the word, and then liturgy of the Eucharist. In the olden days, you could say, after the liturgy of the word, those who were not baptized would leave because they weren't yet admitted to the mysteries
that were about to unfold before their eyes, and because then they were to go off to further instruction. That might happen in some parishes, actually. In bigger parishes, not here. The people might leave after the homily or after, you know, and then they would go and they would then receive more instruction. And they wouldn't yet be admitted to the liturgy of the Eucharist until later. So that's just kind of a historical thing. But okay, the next one. Please, Allison.
Who is the minister for the celebration of the Eucharist? The celebrant of the Eucharist is a validly ordained priest, bishop or priest, who acts in the person of Christ the head and in the name of the church.
Thank you. Okay, Zach.
What are the essential and necessary elements for celebrating the Eucharist? The essential elements are wheat bread and grape wine.
Okay, thank you. So if you have, I don't know, honey wine. There's like a place along up here. It says like honey wine or something like that. Or if you had potato chips, okay, you might have a validly ordained minister. You might have a willing participant. You might have candles and a beautiful church. You might have the right books and use the right words. But if these elements are used, will you have the Eucharist? No. Okay. You got it. Really interesting, though. In moments of real need, there are some really touching stories about the saints and the lay faithful that have attended masses, like in concentration camps, in prisons, behind the Iron Curtain, you know, Soviet Union, modern-day China, many places. And they're, you know, having the mass, like, under the cover of darkness. And, like, you know, I know a priest that would go into like a underground seminary, and other stories of there's this Bishop Van Tuan, he's died, he's from Vietnam, and the communists never liked priests, and so he imprisoned him, but the people would get smuggled in for him, like little vials of wine, and also in a little medicine bottle, little pieces of bread. And so then he would get the faithful around him and he would celebrate Mass in the palm of his hand. Because there was actually bread there and actually wine there. And he's validly ordained. And so the people had the Mass. And that sustained them through those times. So
I have a question about the particulars of the bread. So normally I know we use like unleavened bread. And I know part of that is because, you know, if you use like regular loaf bread and you have a lot of particles that go everywhere, but is that actually a rule that it has to be like unleavened? Because so theoretically they could just celebrate Mass with like regular bread that would come in like a loaf.
You could, because it's not a divine law, and so you have our brothers and sisters in the East, Eastern Catholics, like say you were to go to Greece or maybe somewhere else, Ukraine maybe, or I don't know, other places. There are places in Atlanta too that are in full communion with the Catholic Church. They recognize the Pope as the successor of Peter, but their tradition has always been to have leavened bread, and it's legitimate. And so when you go there, you can only receive on the tongue, you can receive leavened, the accidents are leavened bread. The real presence is, of course, Christ. Okay, next one, please. Anna.
In what way was the Eucharist a memorial of the sacrifice of Christ? The Eucharist is a memorial in the sense that it makes present and actual the sacrifice which Christ offered to the Father on the cross, once and for all on behalf of mankind. The sacrificial character of the Holy Eucharist is manifested in the very words of institution, "This is my body which is given for you, and this is the new covenant in my blood that will be shed for you." The sacrifice of the cross and the sacrifice of the Eucharist are one and the same sacrifice. The priest and the victim are the same, only the manner of offering is different. In a bloody manner on the cross and an unbloody manner in the Eucharist.
Thank you. What Anna just read is really important, that last part there. The sacrifice of the cross and the sacrifice of the Eucharist are one and the same sacrifice. That's a mystery. The priest and the victim are the same. Who's the priest and the victim? Christ. Only the manner of offering is different. One bloody on the cross. You saw blood flowing down from our Lord. But you don't see that on the altar in St. Luke. The priest and the victim are the same. They are Christ. And in that moment, the priest is acting in the person of Christ, which is why the priest says, comes down, you know, to the altar, and the words are, he doesn't say, this is the body of Christ. He doesn't say that. He says, this is my body. Because he's acting in the person of Christ himself. Because by his ordination, he's been made that way. Some time ago, I think it was at a funeral, and one of our faithful said to me, you know, Father, one of the people said to me afterward, they thought you were having trouble seeing or you need some glasses. Because there's a moment in the Mass where the priest is kind of like, he bends over a little bit. You're kind of looking at it. They thought that I couldn't read it, so I had to get kind of closer to it and like kind of look at it. But there's actually a little direction in the missal, and it says the priest bends over, bends down. And so you're kind of like resting on the altar. And who does the altar represent? Christ, right? So you're resting on the power of Christ, because, I mean, you can't do this. You know, Matt Dalrymple can't do this, but because he received ordinations, because he received power from the bishop, he can, which comes from Christ, right? Who gave it to Peter? So anyway, this is really, I mean, I've always reflected on that, right? The priest is saying, not this is the body of Christ, but this is my body, because in that moment he's acting in the person of Christ. Okay. Maybe we'll start again, Alex, please. Sorry, you guys are cut out from tonight. We'll order some more of these. We'll get some more going.
It's okay, but I can't read anyway.
But I noticed Marie found it on her phone, so.
Yeah, but she's young and smart.
Amen. It would take me like 30 minutes to do what she found in like a minute.
In what way does the church participate in the Eucharistic sacrifice? In the Eucharist, the sacrifice of Christ becomes also the sacrifice of the members of his body. The lives of the faithful, their praise, their suffering, their prayers, their work, are united to those of Christ. Inasmuch as it is a sacrifice, the Eucharist is likewise offered for all the faithful, living and dead, in reparation for the sins of all, and to obtain spiritual and temporal benefits from God. The church in heaven is also united to the offering of Christ.
Okay, that's huge. That your lives, your work, your sufferings, your day, your ups and downs, you unite that to the sacrifice. It's not just the priest offering it, right? You're offering your life, your day, your work, your ordinary life, your family. You're offering all that with the bread that's offered up to God. So you're uniting yourself with the sacrifice. It's like very involved. You're very involved in the Mass. And so you know, someone once told me, he said, you know, when the priest is holding up that paten there, right, you want to like load it down with all your concerns, all your worries, all your joys, all your things you're grateful for, all the things, you know. Load it down, like make it so weighty and so heavy, what's being offered along with the bread. So we're offering our lives to God in that moment. And then think about it. The sacrifice of the cross, Christ, is being offered for an intention. There's always an intention of the Mass, like for all the faithful of the parish, or someone who's died, or someone who's living. And so you're, in effect, that sacrifice of Christ is being offered for that person. It's the sacrifice of Christ, offered for that intention. There's no more powerful prayer than what Christ did on the cross, and that is being offered for you or your family member or whatever intention it is. And the angels that are present, we don't see them, but Scripture tells us that they're worshiping God. They're with us. Okay, next one, please.
Yeah. Forward, in that booklet that you passed out,
mm-hmm.
if everyone looks at page 4,